G'day, this is Big Brady Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
How many of you guys have heard the term kayfabe?
Blue Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Matt Grim Basso.
This is the loosest kid in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome, everyone, to your longest-running Australian wrestling podcast, WRA. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. Hope you all went out on the past week and enjoyed local pro wrestling. I know I sound a little bit nasally. It's probably because I am fighting the dreaded man flu, and it's killing us. You've probably heard that then. It's killing me at the moment, to be perfectly honest with you. But nevertheless, we soldier on because that's what we do here. We do what we can every week to try and show you guys the best of Australian pro wrestling around the country. I was at AWA Mayhem on Friday night. Really good crowd with a great main event of Tim Caden and Jake Nova, 2 out of 3 falls. Really good match. And yeah, I really did enjoy the whole show. Was good. Everything sort of, it's one of those shows where everyone sort of worked together. It was a really, really good show. It was really, really made me feel good about wrestling after that, if that makes any sense at all. Also, congratulations to the Philippe brothers on getting accepted to or invited to going to the New Japan Dojo over in Japan, of course. They will definitely be put through the ringer over there and come out amazing workers, because that's pretty much all they produce over there in New Japan. So congratulations to those boys. Once again, it's another set, or another example of how well we are going here in Australia with professional wrestling. And those two boys will do us proud over in New Japan. A little bit of a sour note, I guess, to it is there was a worker that put up a post about stuff that happened at a show. Well, it was a fair sort of thing that was on up here in Queensland at Ipswich, and the promotion, who I will not name, that was on the show, just some stuff that was going on backstage and in fact even in the ring, two guys were just completely out of order, and just something that should absolutely be stamped out of professional wrestling in this country. Should be stamped out of professional wrestling everywhere, never mind this country. Should be just we should just all treat each other well. And honestly, I just wish sometimes the shit people would just go away. Just realize that they were shit and leave, because it really does my head in. Because there are so many people, and I'm going to speak about Queensland, there's so many people up here actually trying to do good, actually trying to put on a great product, and trying to be completely professional and trying to do the best and really raise up this industry here in Queensland. And when you hear reports about people doing the exact opposite, and in places where people that normally wouldn't watch wrestling would get to see it, and this is the stuff that they see, really, really is disappointing. But my guest this week is not disappointing at all. He's Rob Barnes. I don't know if you've heard of Rob Barnes. If you haven't, you should have. He was a staple here in Australia for a while back early in the 2000s, and then decided to go to America and try and improve his stuff, and ended up going to Texas and working at Booker T's Reality of Wrestling, and was there for the past 5 or 6 years, I believe. I'm saying this because it's been about 2 weeks since we did our interview. It's sort of something I had to put on the back burner because I had Michael Craven last week from New Japan come on and sort of booted poor Rob out of the way. But then I did ask Rob and get permission from him to do that, so he was good enough to say, yes, that's fine, go ahead and do it. Anyway, we had a great chat, and from a guy who really is looking to get back into the Australian scene, and hopefully after this, and hopefully when people hear that he's in the country now and ready to be working in the Australian industry, we'll definitely book the guy, because he would be a valuable asset to any promotion. And with that, gee, I'm really sorry. See, it's the flu. It's killing me right now. We're going to head into where the action is this weekend. And then after that, we're going to talk to Rob Barnes right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. It's now time for where the action is around the country. and on in Victoria on Saturday. PCW have their regular Ignition shows at the Southeastern Entertainment Centre in Ferntree Gully. So if you're around that area, get out there and see them. Tickets for that one are at pcw.com.au. Also in Victoria, APW have Rise Above at the Mechanics Institute in Frankston. Tickets for that one are at the door. Go and check them out if you're in the Frankston area. In New South Wales, we have a packed weekend, or a packed Saturday night, really. Suplex Pro, again, the flu is killing me. Suplex Pro, Chapter 10, the Rumble returns at the East Cessnock Bowling Club. Tickets for that one are in Mosh Tix. A great young promotion starting up in New South Wales there with Suplex Pro. Wrestling Go is also having their Metal Mayhem at the Marion Community Centre. Tickets for that one are at eventbrite.com. If you want to get to Wrestling Go, I do advise that you buy tickets early. They sold out their last show at the Marion Community Centre. At the RSL, I believe. I can't remember where that was right now. But they sold out their last show. Over 400 people went to see Wrestling Go. So it is the new hot thing in New South Wales wrestling. So get it there and check them out if you're in the Marion area. And also in New South Wales, Newcastle Pro have Hoose Party, Duck Duck Hoose, at the House of Free Fighting. Tickets for that one are at newcastleprowrestling.com.au. And with that, we move to WA. And on Friday and Saturday night, NHPW have Global Conflict 10 at the Coburn Youth Centre. It is an all-female double night, double header of all-female action. Some of the people we've got coming in for this show is Soraya Knight, Nicole Savoy, Avery, Jessica Troy, Casey Johns, Mercedes Martinez, Lena Cross, Steph DeLander, many, many more. Some of the best women from around the country will be in Perth on Friday and Saturday night for Global Conflict. You can get your tickets for that one at perthwrestling.com.au. Again, that is Friday and Saturday night. Also on Saturday night, EPW have Collision Course at Gate 1 in Claremont. Tickets for that one are at epwperth.com. Again, EPW, the preeminent promotion in Perth. Get out there and see them. And we move from that to South Australia. I told you there is a lot of shows on this weekend. On Friday night in Adelaide, RCW have Super Clash 2 at the HQ Complex. Massive show here. If you're at Super Clash 1, you'll know what I'm talking about. And HQ is an unbelievable venue for wrestling in South Australia. RCW champion Zach Sabbath defends his title against the Skyscraper Kurt Barron. The RCW tag champions the Armstrongs defend against the Pereira in a no disqualification match. And the RCW Women's Champion Indy Hartwell defends her title against the Huntress Mickey Fortune. Get out there and support. Also on that card, Chris Basso against Rocky Monero, which is always a show stealer when these two lock horns. Also, get your tickets for that one are at moshtix.com.au. And on Saturday night in Adelaide, ACW have Evolve 23 at the ACW Academy in Prospect. Get your tickets for that one at the door. So rock up to that and go and check out action on Saturday night if you're still yearning for some wrestling after going to see RCW. Saturday night, go and see ACW. In Queensland, we got a triple header. If you're in Townsville, go and check out the QWA Queensland Wrestling Alliance. It's Gabriel's birthday bash at the Greek Community Centre in Townsville. Tickets for that one are at the door. If you're in Gympie, go and check out UPW at the Gympie Pines Golf Club. EC Diamond defends his title against Malibu. Stickytickets.com.au for that one. And I will be at, hopefully, if this flu does not kill me, Pro Wrestling League, the Fire Rises, at the SCC Conference Center in Southport. Matches on that one, the PWL champion Mick Moretti will be defending against Tim Cade. Mitch McCarthy takes on Jesse Daniels in a no disqualification match. Other guys on this card, you've got Caveman Arg, you've got Showtime Jake Nova, Xander Sullivan, Renegade, Sebastian Matters, Adonis, pretty much anyone who's anyone in Queensland Wrestling will be at Pro Wrestling League. You can get your tickets for that one at prowrestlingleague.com.au. And any promotions that want their show mentioned here on Where the Action Is, hit us up on Facebook or email me at WrestleRadioAustraliaTodd@gmail.com, and we'll mention you on an upcoming episode, or book me, because unless I'm dead, I will definitely mention it on this show, because I'm a giant shill for myself. And that is Where the Action Is this weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I am joined by someone today who's one of the, more experienced guys in Australian wrestling, but hasn't been in Australian wrestling for a fair while now, because he's been plying his trade over in America, but now he is back and ready to join back into the Australian wrestling ranks. Rob Barnes, how are you, mate?
I'm doing pretty well. Glad to be back. Very happy to be back.
Because how long were you over in America? Because you're at Booker T's. You started. Yeah, did you train there and then join up with the? I think it's Reality of Wrestling, is it?
Yeah. So I moved over there for about a year back in 2012.
Oh, okay.
And then that's when they started the whole Reality of Wrestling, and so I just happened to come in at the right time. So I was like, I'm going to do a year here. You know, have some fun, see what happens. And then after the year, I came back to Australia and had to have surgery on my wrist. So I was kind of out of action for a while. And then I got another opportunity to head back over to the States with work. So I was like, oh, well, I'll take it. I'll go back to books, maybe do another year or so there. And then 4 years later, I was like, might be about time to head back to Australia. So, yeah.
Were you
a little bit ready?
Because you'd worked for trained with AWF and that before you left to America, hadn't you? So you already sort of had a solid wrestling base under you.
Yeah, you know, I started training when I was like 16. It was with AWF. But, you know, I credit a lot of my training to Jay Law because, you know, he went to the US, like, I think around when I was only like 18 or whatever. He went to the US, did a few months there at Jesse Hernandez's school, and he came back and like really like helped me out with my training and stuff like that. And then, you know, he also went and trained with Dragon Gate and came back again and like was just like passing on everything he learned. So I credit a lot of my training to him.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so I had a little bit of foundation before I actually took off over to Booker's school.
Yeah, because you were with AWA when they were really drawing some AWF. Sorry, when they were really drawing some big numbers in Sydney, were you?
Yeah, I was like just getting on shows. Like I was like 18, 19, and I was only like just getting on all the club shows when they were drawing like 500, 600 people, and I had absolutely no business wrestling in front of that many people. But somehow I managed to get on a few of the shows, and it was a pretty good experience.
Yeah. So when you went to Booker's, did they sort of just break you down? First of all, is it who trains over there? Is it because I assume when you were over there, Booker was on his WWE to WWF sort of run. So who's the sort of like the main trainer there?
So when I like moved there initially, one of the guys that like the head trainer there at the time was this guy Paul Cook, and he's actually still one of my very good friends, even though he's not working with Booker anymore. We still remain friends after the fact. He was the head trainer there. He kind of just like taught the basics to people and sort of just monitored training, and it was a little bit of a free for all. The boys just kind of trained themselves, and then occasionally Booker would come in and he'd run training maybe once a week. It was like nights where Booker was in, it was good training. I actually learned a lot, especially that first year being there. That's really where I learned the difference between what he likes to call playing wrestler and actually being a wrestler.
Yeah. Because he would probably teach you the whole, like, working to a hard cam and that sort of stuff, where that you wouldn't really learn that in most schools, would you?
No, not at all. And, like, that was the big thing behind when he started Reality of Wrestling was teaching us how more to work towards the camera and all that kind of stuff. But he also was very specific on, don't always be facing the camera and that sort of stuff. He's like, it's not about just facing the camera, it's about working towards the camera.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you still got to remember there's four sides of the ring, and you can't just spend your entire time staring directly at the hard cam. So yeah, it was an interesting way of teaching, and definitely learned some lessons there that I wouldn't have learned anywhere else. And then, like, really just, like, a lot of his psychology breakdowns,
yeah,
I found really good. I mean, it's part of the reason why I stayed there.
Yeah.
It's because I liked the way that he taught and broke things down. And I just felt like whenever he was teaching, I was learning something new.
Yeah. Because that's one thing. I mean, really, to be honest, you can probably learn the moves of wrestling from anybody around that can be a fairly decent hand. Learning the psychology of wrestling is pretty much the hidden mystery of wrestling, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and like the thing is, like, that's kind of funny because that's like one of Booker's quotes of, like, he can bring a bum in off the street and teach him how to body slam someone, but that doesn't make him a wrestler. He's like, yeah, there's a lot more to it. There's a lot more thinking, but
yeah, well, there are plenty of guys that aren't the best workers in the world, but their psychology makes them one of the best workers in the world, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, at the end of the day, you know, it's one of those things of, like, well, what really makes a great wrestler? Is it someone who does all cool moves, or is it someone that draws people in? You know, and the people that can do both, there, to me, that's what makes a great worker. Someone that can do it all.
Yeah, the guy that can do it all is the next level of performer. Whereas you got the guys that can do all the cool shit, and that's awesome to watch. But I don't see those guys progressing any further than that spot, if you know what I mean. Whereas the guy that knows the all round game, well, he can go higher, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about whether you can, like, adapt and grow, and yeah, that's the thing, like. People who start off and, like, they're doing cool moves and realize, like, well, that's not all there is to this. Like, there's a lot more, and they're willing to actually grow. You know, that's what creates great workers.
And I like the fact that now you've come back to Australia, even though it's more the fact that you just wanted to come back home, not the fact that you saw that the scene down here is booming and it was like a great chance to come back and that sort of deal. It's just the fact that you come back home and now you're wanting to get back into what you love doing. And just the fact that you've been, cause I ran into you at the RCW Academy down in January, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember watching, cause I was like, geez, he looks familiar. Well, I can't fucking place him. He's a rookie. He's really fucking good for a rookie. As soon as Maddie told me, and I'm going, oh fuck yes, I know that dude. Yes, I've seen him on fucking Reality of Wrestling. That's where I've fucking seen him before.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it was one of those things of, you know, and it's kind of funny. I'd been saying for a few years that my time was up with Booker T and Reality of Wrestling. You know, I got advice a few years ago from William Regal when I, like, did a seminar with him, and he kind of said to me, because at the time there wasn't really much going on in Texas wrestling, and kind of said, like, why are you in Texas? I explained, like, I liked what Booker was teaching me and all that, and he kind of said, okay, that's cool, but once you're done here, you should really move somewhere else. He's like, you know, take what you know, once you feel like you've stopped learning, you know, you need to move on. And if I, you know, look back on my time in the U.S., that's one thing that I failed to do. I failed to move on. I stayed at Booker's, like, way too long. And, you know, part of it is just Booker was very good at creating this mentality of, you know, we're going to make it, and, like, this is all about you guys, and, you know, this is, you know, you're not going to find anything better than this out there, and almost like kind of sipping the Kool-Aid almost, you know, I guess almost like the way that people talk about, you know, Paul Heyman, the way he used to, like, hype people up and make them believe, like, yeah, this is the next level. So, you know, what was it, 2018, I was like, all right, I'm done here. This is my last year. I dealt with a neck injury in 2016, and then, you know, I was ready to move just before 2016, but then we got a new facility and all this, and oh, we're going to be on the CW network, and I was like, all right, well, I'll give it, you know, another 6 months or so, and then I got injured, and then after the injury, I'm like, oh, I'll do another year here, and then we'll see. So in 2018, I'm like, no, I need to get out here. Like, I felt like I've run my course. And at the time, I was seeing my girlfriend, who's now my fiance, and like we both kind of discussed like making a move to Chicago. So, you know, we're talking about moving, and then all of a sudden, my neck issues started coming back, and I went and saw my chiropractor, physical therapist, and he's like, you know, if you want to keep doing this thing, you probably are never going to be able to do it full time. And he's like, you should really cut back on how much you're training. Like, if you're doing a couple of shows on the weekend, like, maybe you shouldn't be training that week. Like, just kind of reiterating, like, your neck is never going to be 100%. And you need to basically continue what was rehab. He's like, is now maintenance.
Oh, wow.
Which is, you know, as someone who's like was actively pursuing to try and make a career out of this, that's obviously not what you want to hear.
No.
So, you know, it was weird. It was like one night I was sitting down and I was just watching like some stuff on Instagram, and I was like, Mick and Concrete, like, who were some of my best friends, and they're over here and they're doing great things. And I was like, oh, it's really cool. I'm so glad for those guys that they have those opportunities. And I'm like, I hope that, like, you know, this move to Chicago will, like, give me more opportunities. And then as I'm sitting there over the next like week or so thinking about it, I'm like, you know, like, I'm trying to remember what it was. Something, I had to go to the doctor for something, and then I am finding the, oh, that's right. I can't believe I forgot about this. So I got this pain in my stomach. And, like, of course, I'm looking it up on Google.
Don't WebMD anything.
No, I did. I totally did. I WebMD'd it. And it comes back like appendicitis. I'm like,
well, that's better, because normally it's like stomach cancer or... It's not the worst possible thing.
Don't get me wrong. Stomach cancer was down on the list too, but like, the first one was like appendicitis. I'm like, oh shit. And it's like, you know, or it could be a hernia. I was like, you know, so I'm like looking up hernias, and I'm like, oh, if it's a minor hernia, I'll be okay. If it's a major hernia, I'll need surgery for that. And like, I'm just sitting there with this pain in my stomach, so I'm looking up like low income doctors around my area to go get checked out, you know, and I found a place that was only going to charge me $70 to get seen. So I'm like, all right, I'll go there. So I call them up, and they're like, oh, we don't have anything until this afternoon. It's like 11 o'clock. And like, we don't have anything until like 3:30, 4 o'clock, something like that. I was like, oh, fuck. I'm like, all right, yeah, just book me in. And then like, as I'm sitting there waiting for like 4 o'clock to roll around, I'm just sitting there going, I am sitting here looking up low, like low economical doctors in my area, because I don't want to have to fork over money to just go see a doctor which might be a life threatening thing.
Yeah, if the appendicitis bursts, it's not a good day for you.
No, so I'm just sitting there like, what the fuck? Like, why am I doing this? And I end up going to the doctor and ended up just being like a minor hernia. And like, I rested it for a couple of days and it went away. It was fine.
Yeah.
But just that idea of like, I'm sitting here looking up low economy clinics. I'm like, man, like, I just, and in that moment, I was just like, man, I really miss Australia. Like, Australia,
I really miss the healthcare.
I would walk right into a fucking like hospital,
yeah,
and we've just gone, hey, I have this pain in my stomach, like, I'm worried it might be appendicitis, and like, maybe they would have made me wait, maybe with the possibility of appendicitis they might have brushed me through, but like, I would have been seen like pretty quickly, and I wouldn't have had to get out my credit card.
Like, or even just the normal GP you'll get in that day easily.
Yeah, exactly. Like, And like, if the GP's busy and I can't get in, like that's the thing. Like, actually going to the ER in Australia is not a complete bank buster.
No.
Whereas, like, in America, it can be. Like, because when I had my neck injury, I spent, it was $1,200 for the hospital room that I was in for 30 minutes.
Holy shit.
It was $500 for the X-ray and CT scan. And then I got another bill for like $800, $900, something like that, for the doctor's bill himself.
Holy.
So literally the hospital bill I paid of like $1,200 was literally just for the room that I sat in for about half an hour. And so like, I'm like thinking about this stuff. I was like, fuck, like, I don't want to have to deal with this. And like, I'm with my fiance and, you know, we're talking about like having kids. And I'm like, and you know, my buddy at the time had been telling me how much it cost him to have a kid in America. And I'm just like, and like, it just, it almost like was like, you know, like, you know, one of those light bulb moments. Yeah. Where I'm just sitting there like, all right, if I can't pursue this thing full time right now because my neck is so jacked up, what the fuck am I still doing here? I'm like, I don't want to have to pay medical bills. I don't want to have kids over here. Like, fucking, there was a shooting at a school 10 minutes from our wrestling facility. I'm like, I don't want to deal with this shit.
Yeah.
Like, so I was just like, nah, fuck it. Like, so I said to my fiance, like, you know, who was just my girlfriend at the time, I was like, look, what do you think about at the end of this year, instead of moving to Chicago, if we pick up and move to Australia? And within about 5 minutes, she was convinced, and that was it. We started making plans.
Just like, no shooting,
yeah.
Medical coverage.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, that was like one of the, like, to her credit, that was like one of her questions. She's like, well, like, what about your wrestling? Like, are you just gonna stop it? And I was like, no, actually, like, it's really weird. Like, I was just looking at the, you know, wrestling in Australia a couple of weeks ago, and I was so happy to see, like, Mick and Concrete and some of the other boys doing so well. I'm like, you know, I could go back and continue wrestling over there. It's, the scene is a lot better than what it used to be, so I can still at least be active in it.
Mm.
I was like, yeah, I don't need to worry about expensive medical bills and, you know, if our future kids getting shot going to school.
Yeah, which is a kind of a big thing.
Dude, like, when you like really sit down and think about it, like, yeah, I don't want to have to deal with that. You know, when I moved over there and I was 24, that was like the furthest thing from my mind.
Yeah.
But
although, to be fair, I've been watching that Friday Night Tykes lately, and their gridiron scene looks awesome. Just for kids at school. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, the football down in Texas apparently is like great, but I mean, I never got into it.
Oh my lord, I don't know. We're getting in the interview now. I can't do this.
Oh, come on. And like, some of the games, like, they go too long, bro.
Oh dear. Well, the good thing is too, because when you move back to Sydney, so you're in it. PWA in that training academy now, which is arguably one of the best in the country. Not only that, you've got your own wealth of knowledge that you can help with the younger guys. We're like, this is what we learnt in Booker's, and this is how we learnt to work at Hard Camp, because it's probably something that even though as well traveled as Mick and as Jack and as Robbie and as they probably hadn't been taught that sort of stuff either.
Yeah, I mean, they probably haven't, but, you know, right now I'm basically just doing my training, and it's nice to kind of, like, step away and not worry about teaching other people and all that kind of stuff. Like, they are running a great school, and honestly, like, I go there and I feel outclassed by, like, a lot of their students. Like, they've got a lot of great students, man. Like,
yeah, well, you couldn't have picked a more competitive area to move into either.
Oh, for sure. Like, and like, being this kind of a little bit crippled old man. Like, that's what I feel like when I go in there. I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, to the point where, like, I reached out to you because I was like, it's probably about time I do that interview. Because when I did do rock and roll wrestling the other weekend, Saw Bay is the one that reached out to me. And then, like, at the show, he's like, oh, yeah. So I didn't know whether you were just, like, retired and just, like, training for the fun of it. I was like, oh, God, is that what people are thinking? Like, old man Barnes, retired, just, like, hanging on by, like, coming to training every now and then. I'm like, oh.
Please book me.
Yeah, please. I'm not retired. But, yeah, no, they're, like, dude, the fastest students they have at PWA is amazing. And, you know, they're doing a great job there. And, you know, I'm enjoying trying to go every single week. And then, you know, some weeks I am having to go down to Adelaide, so I'm getting a chance to train with Chris and Matt down at this RCW school. So it's a lot of fun being able to, you know, I said to Chris, like, it's a lot of fun being able to be a student again.
Yeah.
Because for, like, the last 3 years at Booker's, like, I was the trainer there. Like, even, like, for the first year or so, it wasn't even like an official capacity. It's just I was the one of the guys that was always down there. So all the rookies were like, hey, what are we doing today? And I would just have to come up with a game plan. Like, oh, well, I kind of wanted to work on this, so yeah. Let's do that.
How weird would that have been for, like, the occasional Aussies that drop into that school to learn, to go, oh, there's an Aussie learning, Aussie teaching here.
Yeah, and, like, I always kind of found it funny when, like, they were surprised, and I was just like, no one you told you were coming here was like, oh, you know, Rob Barnes is over there. Because, like, yeah, it was, like, funny, too, because, like, some of them came and, like, just, like, weren't staying in, like, good places and stuff like that, and I'm just like, man, like, if you have hit me up, I would have, like, I always tried to, like, you know, any Australians that came down, I always tried to let them know, like, all right, well, you know, don't fucking stay in this area. Like, let me know what hotel you're looking at, and I'll let you know if that's, like, an okay area to stay in.
Because I know Matt did a while there too, didn't he? Did a couple of weeks at Booker's, yeah.
And, yeah, man, Houston is, like, one of those cities where it's, like, you know, you might think you're in a good area, and then you happen to walk down the wrong street, and...
You're not in a good area.
No, like, my parents came over to visit last year, and they got directions from some guy. He's like, oh, yeah, there's a mall. It's, like, 15 minutes down the road. You know, go down to this street, then take a right, and just keep on walking. And they called me, and they're like, yeah, we've been walking, like, at least 20 minutes already, and we, you know, we haven't even gotten to the street where he said take a right. I was like, okay, so first of all, the mall that he's, like, told you to go to is not within walking distance. He must have misunderstood and thought you had a car. I was like, and second of all, don't take another step because you're walking down into the ghetto. And I was like, so stop where you are. Like, literally, like, I looked up on a map where they were, and they were, like, 2 blocks away from where it gets, like, really dangerous. I was like, look, just stop where you are. Get a taxi to take you to the mall. And, like, oh, okay.
Oh, thanks for that.
Yeah, like, that was exactly the right, like, oh, shit, okay. Well, I thought we were pretty clear we're walking. And I was like, yeah, well, nobody in Houston walks, so they must have just assumed you had a car.
Yeah. I think people glamorize the American indie scene somewhat. When you came down here, and you've probably seen a few of the shows around now, how much on par or how much above what it is around that American indie scene is the Australian scene at the moment?
Dude, I think, you know, some of what I've seen out here is some of the best wrestling, like, I've seen in the last few years.
Mm.
Like, you know, I mean, you have, you know, I think it's just very, in the US, quite often it's just very, and, like, it's pretty similar over here too, I guess. You know, it's very, I'm trying to think of a word, you know, it's very show dependent, very brand dependent, you know.
Yep.
One, you know, you can go to one show in Austin and it will just be like off the chains, but then you go to a show down in San Antonio and it's just like, whoa, this is not, like, this is not the same thing. Like, and they, like, you know, it's similar to what we were talking about before we even started this, of like, you know, shows like down the road from each other, and like the difference in quality can just be night and day. Like, that's the thing. And, you know, I think everything I've seen, you know, and mainly what I've seen is like the Newcastle Pro shows, and, you know, those guys are, you know, I just, like, I watched some of the shows, I'm like, man, these guys would like kill it over at some of the companies I was working for, because, you know, just, they've come such a long way from, like, what wrestling was only, like, 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, you really do notice that, because I know when I started 5 years ago to looking at what the shows are now, back when I started 5-6 years ago, if you're at a show that had a screen with a video entrance, that was the big time. And now it's almost mandatory that a show has to have that, otherwise you're not a real show.
Yeah, but then, like, there's still companies in the US that, like, don't even do anything like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so, like, Australia is ahead of the curve a little bit in that sense. And, like, I remember doing an interview years ago, and they asked about, like, the difference between American wrestling and Australian wrestling. And I was like, you know, one thing I've realized is the audiences are just so easy here. I'm like, Australian fans, like, it takes a lot for Australian fans to, like, get invested in a show. And I was like, I see that at WWE events. Like, you know, like, if I went to a live event in the US, like, I could be sitting in the back row and people are going nuts like they're sitting in the front row. Whereas, you know, I would go to a WWE live event in Australia, and unless you were in the first, you know, 15 to 20 rows, and that's probably being generous, like, people were just, like, sitting on their hands.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would occasionally woo or break out in a chant, but, like, really, like, they would kind of sit on their hands. And I was like, you know, and, you know, again, like, you even compare that to our, like, sporting events, like, Australian crowds compared to, like, an English crowd or a US crowd, like, I always just felt like, you know, we're a lot more low-key. Like, we enjoy, like, sitting back.
Yeah.
And I think, honestly, that's what has caused Australian wrestling to get so good, because over here, they're really working for that audience to, like, get invested. Whereas in the US, like, you don't even need to be that good of a wrestler, and the audience is just into it, like, straight away. There's so many shows I went through, and, like, you know, I hadn't done anything, but they were just already going nuts. And I'm just like, I mean, I'm not this good. This must be a very easy crowd. Yeah. Like,
how did that transition go on your first match back then, when you came out through the curtain? You must have been a little bit like, I don't know how this is going to go, sort of deal.
Oh, 100%. I was very nervous, which my fiance would attest to. And it was just like, it was a weird nervous, because, like, yeah, it was really like, yeah, I really don't know how this is going to go. You know, are they going to boo me? Like, are they going to cheer me? And, you know, coming back as a heel, of course, is a lot easier. So, because you don't really need to do much. You don't really need to get those cheers.
Yeah.
But, you know, it also helped that, like, they clearly were a crowd that, they had seen the product before, and they were very into the baby face, so all that made it very easy. But, you know, to be honest, though, I'm used to working those kind of crowds, like crowds that are used to the product. So I feel like whenever you get a crowd like that, it's always going to be pretty easy.
Yeah.
And I think that's the great thing about Australian wrestling now, is that, yeah, they had, you know, all these guys, they did the hard work for many years, to the point now you get in these crowds that, like, are so into the local scene, some younger guys come through really don't need to work that hard, which isn't a bad thing. Like, I'm not, like, putting any shit on them or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, the work that the guys have put in the last few years has really created a great environment right now.
But also those guys that are bringing the younger guys up are being strict on these younger guys to make sure they're up to scratch. Like, 5 years ago, you never would have seen guys debuting that looked like Wahlberg or looked like, you know what I mean? They weren't in that kind of shape. That they just weren't 5, 6 years ago.
For sure. And, like, no, man, I'm seeing how strict they are. And, like, the thing is, like, it does remind me of books a lot, not in terms of the looks, because, like, he wasn't so big on, like, making sure they were in ring shape, but, like, in terms of, like, the quality of them. Like, some of the guys that are new and they've only had a few matches, and I was like, oh, their quality is really good. And that was always one thing that whenever our rookies, you know, and whenever our rookies debuted somewhere else, people were like, oh, how long have you been working? And like, oh, you know, this is my third match or this is my fourth match. And people were just like blown away. And some of them would go to these other shows with us and they're like, so he's asking me what I want to do. I'm not sure what to say. I'm like, just tell him how long you've been working. I was like, and just be smart about what you're doing. Like, and they're like, oh, okay. But like, that was the thing. Like, they had the mark of like, being at books, so at certain promotions, like, people were just like, oh, well, this guy must know what he's doing, even if he was a rookie. So, I mean, it was good, but yeah, I definitely see that right now with some of the PWA guys, like the quality of them.
Yeah. So, thanks heaps for coming on, mate. You're on social medias, aren't you?
Yeah, of course. Have to be on social media.
Yeah,
Not retired.
Rob. That should be a gimmick. Not retired, Rob Barnes.
Yeah, that might not be too bad. I might change my Twitter handle tonight.
Give out your Twitter handle so people can get in contact with you, especially if they want to book you, because you are one of the more experienced hands that are going around the country at the moment, especially with the experience you have overseas. So any promotion that wants to bring you in to enhance their show is a really smart move, to be perfectly honest, in my opinion. So just let your social medias out there so people can get in contact with you.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. So social media, I'm at Australia, the number one RB. I might change that in the next few months or so, but for now, that's where I am on Instagram and Twitter, and even on Facebook, Rob Barnes, you'll find me. And yeah, man, that's it. This has been fun. Thank you.
No, thank you. Not retired Rob Barnes. Thank you for coming on, mate.
Oh, thank you very much. Not retired. Not retired, everybody.
People say having an opinion is like having a penis. It's really great for you, but you shouldn't share it around. That's exactly what we don't do. We share it all about the internet. And in fact, we advertise it on other people's podcasts so that they can go and enjoy it as well. Am I talking about penises or am I talking about opinions on film? To find out, you'll have to go to our website, secondtakepodcast.com, or find Second Take Podcast on your podcatcher of choice.
And that does it for another episode of A Fluey Wrestle Radio Australia. Once again, big thanks to my guest, Rob Barnes. If you're a promotion out there and you want a really, really good worker, you want someone who's been around and then someone that could probably impart a lot of knowledge to your roster, get onto Rob Barnes, book him for your show, put him in a good match, and he will definitely deliver for you. Just like we do right here every week at WrestleRate Australia. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free. You can do it on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast from. If you do stop by iTunes, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star. Helps us get inside more ears. Share the show and spread the word about professional wrestling in this country, just like we do every week. Also, make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search out Wrestle Radio Australia, and on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU, or me personally at Beast Eastman. Also, now we are on Spotify, so if you're not all that keen on using iTunes and Stitcher and all that jazz, we are now on Spotify, so you can catch us there. We do have our shirts on redbubble.com. Just search out Redbubble. Redbubble.com and look up Wrestle Radio Australia. Any profits that come from the sale of shirts, coffee mugs, God knows, whatever you want to put Wrestle Radio Australia on, any of the profits that go from that go to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, two charities that we believe in very much here in Wrestle Radio Australia, and ones that we have supported in the past and we continue to do in the future. To send it home, like we always do, it is time for Promo Land, and this week's be quiet, Bugsy. The one time I have you in the room. This week's promo land is from this weekend's EPW Collision Course. Damian Slater and Michael Morleone, the main event coming up. Great promo for a great match, I'm sure. And we will catch you next week right here at Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm Todd Eastman.
You want to know something about the Don? I'll give you a little scoop. He's a fake. A fake, honestly. I mean, he's kind of got the world convinced now that he's this man with all this fighting spirit and all this heart and all this fire, but Don's a coward. Like, I mean, I punched him in the face. I kicked him in the jaw. I left him hurt. I left him down. We've heard nothing from the Don. Like, where's the Don now? Where's the Don now? Is he at home? Is he with his kid? Is he licking his wounds? Where's the Don? I guarantee he's not here. He's not fighting. He's not training. I mean, it's kind of like fight or flight. So, like, you know, big event happens, and are you going to stand there and fight, or are you going to run away? I think the Don's already answered that one for us.
You call me a coward? After you jump me from behind with your best mate and your skeezy manager? I don't need to talk a big game, Damian Slater. I do it from bell to bell with my heart and my hands. You've only got to look at all the people I've defeated as champion. It speaks for itself.
Don, you are the king of Perth. But it's time to step into the ring with a real world beater.
You call yourself the world beater, Damian Slater? It's time for you to step up. Step into my ring.